And as we heard over the weekend, the Berejiklian and Barilaro government has been returned to power in New South Wales. But one of the casualties will be the Minister for Primary Industries, Niall Blair, who remain an MLC for now, he says, but he's pulling the pin on being a minister. He cites the toll the job's taken on his family and him personally. He says with all the travel and the number of threats that have been made towards him and his family, he says it's just not acceptable and he's calling time to refresh and regenerate. I spoke to quite an emotional Niall Blair earlier on today.
There's no doubt that the level of travel, the time away from home, and also a number of the issues that I've been responsible for have taken a toll, and I made the decision some months ago that I wouldn't continue on in the ministry after the election if we were successful. But I also wanted to finish the job and not become a distraction for the government to be re-elected. So I did inform a number of colleagues and close friends and family and my staff, but wanted to see the job through, particularly during the drought and particularly during some of the water issues. I know that if I had left midway through, then that probably would have been a bigger story than what people are talking about now.
You don't think the public had the right to know you were going to leave prior to the election before they voted?
Well, I'm part of a team and I was on a team ticket, so I'm going to take my place in the upper house. You know, no one should ever think that they are bigger than the team. And I know that I'll be adequately replaced. I've got faith in my colleagues that they'll be able to continue on with the job. And I don't think people were going into the election and would vote because I was the Primary Industries Minister. It was about what we were offering as a government, what we were offering the sector. In fact, people probably didn't vote because I was the primary for us because I was a Primary Industries Minister.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is it the case that you got it wrong? I mean, we heard from the Shooters and Fishers, they were saying you got it wrong on drought. You should have done more on drought. You should have done more on water management. You should have done more in terms of people in certain seats complaining about things and asking for things to be done, and they felt they were ignored.
Well, I think that's the real point there. If it's all about certain seats or certain parts of the state, then you're not doing your job as a minister. Now, when I make decisions, whether it's in drought, whether it's in water, whether it was in fisheries, whether it was in biosecurity, biodiversity, I had to make decisions for the whole of New South Wales. And that's not easy. That takes a toll, particularly when you sit around a kitchen table or in a meeting and someone will tell you that they are at the wrong end of that decision. You know, I think that really, that comment that maybe the Shooters are saying that your decision had an impact on one part of the state, I'll back my decisions in because everything that I've done, I believe, was in the best interest of everyone in New South Wales. And that wasn't one commodity over the other, one valley over another, one community over another, one sector over another. It was on balance the best and the right decisions for New South Wales.
You mentioned the water issue and you said that at the time when you made visits out to Broken Hill and the Darling that there were a number of threats to you personally, to your family. Did that come into the equation about your resignation?
Absolutely. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
So there were serious threats then? You felt as though they were serious?
Yeah, it wasn't just threats. It was also the level of aggression generally in a lot of the comments and questioning the motivations behind decisions. It wasn't just to me or my family. My staff had to put up with a hell of a lot. And that's not okay. And I'm allowed then to be the controller of my destiny. I can decide that I'm not willing to put myself through that when I believe that everything I'm doing is in the best interests of the people of New South Wales. And, you know, those same people that are caught up on one issue, you know, where were they on the ballot paper? They didn't have the guts to put their names forward. They're pretty tough sitting behind social media or threats. But, yeah, I can make the decision. There's very few politicians that get to go out on their terms and their timing. And, yeah, I'm also happy to say that that did have an impact. I don't think people... I mean, we're in a society in 2019 where everyone wants to talk about a whole range of issues and say it's not okay. Well, I'm allowed to say that that wasn't okay and that had an impact on me.
In regards to the water issue, though, there were people that said that you got it wrong on the Menindee Lakes, letting the water go too early. So, I mean, these were legitimate criticisms of people made about the management of the Darling. They say cotton growers got too much water upstream, and you know, so these were some of the legitimate criticisms they have in the terms of the decision making. Apart from the idea that people got made actual threats towards you. How do you feel about that water management, those water decisions, and the Gavin Hanlon and the pumped program from Four Corners? Is that sort of still going to be a legacy for you to deal with in, you know, in terms of when you were the minister?
Well, firstly, a lot of the things that people have claimed are incorrect, and I don't think that some of those claims are legitimate. I will actually say again that because of water management, there are some communities that actually have water at the moment. Their rivers would have run dry some time ago. I was amazed to see a lot of debate around drought and people calling for environmental water, for example, to be given to farmers to grow fodder for starving stock. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, people criticising farmers and saying that they are the reason the rivers are stopped running. They are stopping running. So that has been incorrect. We've heard people reporting that water was let out of Menindee to send up to grow cotton in the northern part of the state. So I'm now being credited with letting the rivers run uphill. I mean, these are some of the ridiculous claims that have been made. I'll actually stand on my record. When the pumped program and the allegations were aired, they were aired around allegations that were before my time as minister, and I'll be judged on how I reacted to those. And we now have an independent regulator now in New South Wales. We now have better protection of environmental water. We now have a no meter, no pump policy. We have increased transparency. And even under the current drought, you know, a lot of the things that I guess have been labelled at me was probably because I turned up. I'm not the minister responsible for environmental water. I'm not the minister that is in charge of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. But I was the first to turn up. And if people wanted to blame me for the actions of others, well, I guess I'm probably more willing to take that on the chin rather than people say, well, where was he? He didn't turn up. He didn't have the stomach to front up. So, you know, I guess history will tell. But I think those that are in the sector, those that are in the regions and those that actually know the facts, they're the ones that I'm getting the messages of support from. And they are the ones that are cutting through some of the rhetoric and the misinformation.
Interesting that you talk about those things happened under previous ministers. The drought, though, it's just the final question. People on the ground saying they would have liked more help in terms of the drought, maybe more, you know, more cash in hand rather than the sort of innovation fund that you put up. Those sorts of things. How do you respond to that?
Well, firstly, the Farm Innovation Fund for a lot of farmers is the reason that they've actually had an income. And a lot of them have said, that's exactly what we want. We didn't want handouts. We wanted a hand up. And that will also mean that they've got infrastructure for the next drought. We brought in transport subsidies. I even increased the cap on transport subsidies up to $40,000. So that is cash. And that's actually something that the sector as well is a bit divided on. Again, a lot of people say you're just propping up or you're driving up the price of fodder with cash handouts. We've got money there to transport water. We've got money there to provide water infrastructure. We've got mental health support. We're over $1 billion in cash support. Now, if that's not enough for some, then it'll never be enough. The other thing is that there are a lot of people that are saying that our support as early as it was at a state level has meant the world. And the one thing that I'll take away with me are all the handwritten notes and letters that I received from farmers thanking us for switching off their local land service rates, because that made a difference for every farmer in New South Wales. Doesn't matter if they were a horticulturalist, whether they were a dairy farmer, a livestock producer, or a cropper. That meant every farmer got assistance. And the fact that people took the time to write handwritten notes from all across the state, that was pretty special, and that means that we were making the right difference where it actually was needed and when it counted.
You're obviously pretty emotional about this decision, and it took its toll, obviously.
Well, if you sit around enough kitchen tables, or you speak to enough farmers, or you visit enough communities that are struggling, you can't help but feel personally responsible. And Michael, this is one of the reasons why I've made the decision to tap out, because the farmers and the people of regional New South Wales need someone that wakes up in the morning and is ready to go in and fight again. And I probably need a bit of time to recoup. It has taken a toll, because I think I gave it 100%. And you know, you can only spend 180 nights away from home each year and live out of a suitcase and travel many thousands of kilometres and do your best for so long before you get fatigued. And I think it would be a disservice to the sector if I wasn't able to give 100%, that I was more interested in the trimmings of a ministry rather than doing the job that the people deserve. So that's a big part of the decision.